In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Talking baseball in St. Louis.
Well, the National League Division Series between the St. Louis Cardinals and Philadelphia Phillies continues, perhaps concludes, for the Cardinals here in a few minutes in St. Louis. Coming out of the bullpen to close out today's show for us, Rick Horton, Cardinals broadcaster, former pitcher for the Cardinals, Dodgers, and White Sox, and multi-area director for the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rick, welcome back to Issues Etc.
You bet, Todd. Good to be with you again.
We hear about home field advantage. Is playing at home as big a factor in professional baseball as it is in basketball or football or hockey?
You know, I'd say it probably is as big a difference when you're talking about playoff baseball. I think during the season, you know, there's so many games and guys kind of with all the travel, you know, sometimes you don't even know what city you're in half the time or what day it is for that matter because you play 162 games. But I think the playoff atmosphere becomes so electric, and it certainly was at Busch Stadium yesterday. I think it is an advantage. I like to think back about 85 and 87, especially 87. The Cardinals, we lost to the Twins because we couldn't win a game in Minnesota, and they couldn't beat us in St. Louis. So I think it does matter more in the playoffs.
Rick, as a pitcher, what are your thoughts on tonight's pitching matchup? Roy Oswalt for the Phillies and Edwin Jackson for the Cardinals.
Well, Jackson's been very good. The last month, he has been outstanding, and I think he's been one of the main reasons the Cardinals have been able to mount the comeback that they have is because he's been as solid as you would expect him to be with his ability. And I actually think we have a bit of an advantage going into this game. You know, Oswalt, we've seen him many, many times in the past, and he's an outstanding pitcher. But I think Jackson's a little hotter than Oswalt is right now, and I think, again, the playing at home, I think, gives us an advantage, and I sure would like to see Game 5 in Philadelphia with Halliday and Carpenter. That would be a game for the ages.
Has the adage been proven over this last series of games that led up to the wild card slot that pitching wins games, period?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think pitching is, you know, we always say it starts with the starting pitching, which sounds pretty redundant and pretty silly thing to say, but really every game revolves around how well does the starting pitcher do. Now, he's only important one day a week when he pitches, but that day he's incredibly important. Jaime Garcia was a big reason the Cardinals were in the game yesterday, and, you know, they didn't get the key hits enough to win, but both he and Cole Hamels were key players in that game. You know, if you're a right fielder, you might not even get the ball hit to you, or you're going to get your four at-bats, and they might not even be key situations. So you can almost neutralize just by happenstance a particular player, but you can never neutralize the importance of a starting pitcher. And so Jackson has a lot of weight on his shoulders right now, and so does Oswalt. And if it goes to Game 5, it'll be two of the best pitchers in the National League will have that job. And I think it's especially true, again, when you get into the playoffs. You need the starting pitcher to be hot, and you need to have at least one reliever. Your closer needs to be on time as well.
Did they start Carpenter too soon in Game 2 after very few days of rest for him?
It's a really good question. You know, I would say, you know, I'm not sure I would have done it, but I understand every reason why Tony did do it. He wanted Garcia and Jackson to pitch at home because they've pitched better at home all year long by a large margin, and Tony's very attuned to the numbers and the details and maybe sometimes almost too much. But I think he felt that Chris Carpenter represents something like, he's our supreme guy coming in. He's the cavalry, kind of. And so I think pitching him, even though he didn't pitch well, he felt that it sent him a message saying, you know, we're planning on winning this game, so we're sending our ace out there. And there's so much that goes on between the ears in baseball. I mean, the psychological stuff. To me, I find it fascinating to see the kind of the ebb and flow of the psyche of a player playing baseball, and the confidence and the frustration and how you handle failure and all those things really is fascinating to me.
Do you think that Matt Holliday is going to play today? If so, what does that mean for the Cardinals' offense?
I don't know. It's interesting. Matt was asked after the game yesterday if he was going to play, and he said, I don't know. So if Matt doesn't know, I'm not sure anybody knows, and I'm not sure they even know yet. I think it'll be a matter of him taking batting practice and see whether, you know, he can go. And I know he's actually had as much trouble throwing the baseball as he has swinging a bat, and you know, you can't really put a guy out in left field and say, okay, you're never going to throw a baseball. So what he means to the offense is, I think, a big deal. He's a big scare factor. But Alan Craig, if he doesn't play, you know, I've really been, you know, pretty impressed with Alan Craig being a pretty good plan B. He's not Matt Holliday, but, you know, he's not a slouch either. So, you know, the Cardinals lose something when Holliday doesn't play, and they would gain something, obviously, if he does. But I don't think it's the end of the world if he doesn't.
What does Tony say to the team tonight before they go on the field?
Well, Tony's a pressure guy. So whatever he says is not going to be light, I can tell you that. One of his favorite quotes is, you know, he says, you know, you make diamonds by pressure. So if you don't like pressure, you have to embrace the pressure. That's the kind of things that he says. I don't know that he'll have a pregame, you know, kind of pep talk. They normally don't do that in baseball like they would in football and basketball. It's kind of a, you know, just do your work and go out there, and there really is not necessarily a team meeting. So, I mean, there's always mini meetings where you're talking to hitters about particular pitchers and what they throw, or you're talking to the pitchers about what hitters' tendencies are. But as far as a group team meeting to give a rah-rah thing, I doubt he'll do that. But if he did do it, it would have something to do with, I'm sure he would bring out his pressure question to say, look, you know, we shine in pressure, so, you know, embrace it. And figure out how to handle it and perform well with it.
Rick, yesterday the Cards left 14 runners on base. 8 of them were in scoring position. What can be done from the manager's position to bring some of those runners home?
Yeah, it's a good question. Probably not much that he didn't try. I mean, the Cardinals stole 3 bases yesterday, which is about a month's worth of stolen bases for this team. It doesn't run very well. So, I mean, he tried to do some running, which can enhance your ability to score runners when you get them on base. But really, it's just a matter of guys just not, you know, it isn't a coaching question. It's just an execution. And, you know, baseball is a game of failure. And, you know, there are times Alan Craig, for example, hit a ball right on the nose into a double play in a key situation. He could not have hit the ball any harder and exactly where it was pitched. And if it's 4 feet to the left or to the right, it's a 2-run single and the Cardinals tie the game. And so the results are just kind of what they are, and you have to kind of just say, was it a good at-bat or not? And I think the Cardinals had good at-bats with runners in scoring position. They just didn't have results, and, you know, it's just kind of the way baseball is. I don't think it was a preparation problem. I don't think they were thinking wrong. I don't think it was just really, you know, execution and, you know, the pitcher executing and the hitter not.
Okay, so since it's make it or break it tonight, how important is it for the Cardinals to do what they haven't been doing a lot lately, and that is grabbing an early lead?
Yeah, oh boy, I like that question too. You know, the early lead matters, especially at home. You know, I would say on one hand, you know, the Cardinals have done a nice job of showing that they can come back, because they did that all September long and really did things in September with the proverbial back against the wall that, you know, we've used that cliche so much because it's happened so much. But they showed some things in September that show that they can come back. But I think at home, you want the crowd excited, and you want them excited early. And it'd just be great to see Albert take one deep in the first inning and, you know, get off on a good start. And, you know, I think the other thing that getting to an early lead does is it helps set up your bullpen better. You don't feel like you have to pinch hit earlier to mess up your bullpen. You'd rather mess up their bullpen if you can by getting them in early. But Oswalt can be very, very tough. I think the getting to them early may have as much to do with Oswalt as anything else. He's one of those guys that if he gets on a roll, he becomes very, very tough to hit, and, you know, much like a lot of the Philly starters.
2 quick final questions. Since you mentioned Albert, what are your general thoughts on Pujols now?
Well, I've got the, you know, I'm on that fence. I'm right on that fence. I've kind of wavered. You know, there was a time where I would have said, you know, 80-20 that Albert will come back and be a Cardinal long term, and now I'm 50-50. And so I don't really know, and I don't think anybody knows, and I'm not even sure Albert knows as to whether he'll come back. And I think Cardinal fans will miss him. I know a surprising number of Cardinal fans have said, you know, hey, look, if we can't sign Albert, you know, we'll use the money elsewhere. We'll miss him, and we love him, but, you know, we don't want to hamstring our organization by paying too much for him either. So I think people understand the economic reality, and I just would, you know, I hate to see him go. He's just a, you know, he's just a marvelous player, the best player on the planet, in my opinion, and, you know, I just always love to see him perform, and, you know, I suspect he'll show up tonight and do something special, as he always does, and, you know, it may very well, we said it already once, but it may be his last game at Busch Stadium as a Cardinal. Hope that's not true.
Rick, before we let you go, what's the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes got coming up?
Well, we've got some wonderful things going on. Our staff has really really moved to the point where we have over 125 local high school, middle school, and college huddle groups, and we're so excited. We have about 6,000 kids involved, and the groups are becoming very meaningful ministry opportunities on our schools' campuses, and we're thrilled to serve them. We also have a fundraising dinner on the 10th of November, our dinner gala, and we'll have some athletes there, and we'll have all kinds of folks there, auction items there, and the goal will be to raise significant part of our budget to help us continue to resource these huddle groups, and that's November 10th, and people are interested in coming to the event, and we really do need some help with it. It's they can go to stlfca.org, and they can also find out more about our mission, and you know, our goal is to help athletes and coaches be more godly in how they pursue the gifts that God's given them, and it's a real privilege to have that role, and we work with some wonderful coaches and athletes.
Folks, you'll find a link to the Greater St. Louis Area Fellowship of Christian Athletes at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Rick Horton is a Cardinals broadcaster, former pitcher for the Cardinals, Dodgers, and White Sox, and multi-area director for the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Keep up the good work, Rick.
You bet. I appreciate it. You too. Thanks.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to join us to talk about a Supreme Court case involving a Lutheran school and what's called the ministerial exception. They're asserting exception from anti-discrimination laws. What else can you say? Play ball, go Cards. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.